Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. I am glad to be back. Thank you to Ryan. I don't know what happened to him. Apparently, it must have been rough because he didn't come back today. Him and Mariah, they're gone. No, I'm kidding. If you're visiting with us today, Ryan and Mariah are our worship leaders. Thankful to Shannon and Colleen to step up. And I was gone last week and Ryan shared, so I'm thankful that he did that pretty much last minute because both Pastor Arnold and I, as he mentioned, were out of town. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 12 for a Bible study titled, You Are Blessed. You are blessed. And my prayer today is that each one of us, no matter how we came in, the mindset that we've had, the things going on in our life, that when you leave here today, I hope you leave with a greater sense of just how blessed you are. We have to be reminded of that sometimes, don't we? So he says, verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And Lord, I am so blessed to be able to teach this section of scripture today, to be reminded of how blessed we are in you. And I just pray if someone came in here discouraged, feeling beat down and tired, I just ask that you would open their eyes and that they would see the great blessing it is to be your child, Lord. How that supersedes everything that we deal with. And so I just ask that you would speak to us this morning. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, when we opened this letter a couple weeks ago, I pointed out four different reasons as to why John wrote, or actually John gives us four different reasons as to why he wrote this epistle. We're told back in chapter 1, verse 4, he said, I'm writing these things so that your joy may be full. And we looked at a couple weeks ago, what brings joy, what hinders joy in the life of the believer. And it all stems from a relationship with God. In chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. And Ryan talked about that last week. You know, that there is a victory and a power over sin. But even if we do sin, we have an advocate because we will sin. We do stumble. We're born in the flesh. We have a fleshly nature and we sin and we mess up. And when we do, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sins. The third reason he writes this letter, it's found in chapter 2, verse 26. I thought we would get there today, but then we're not. We're just getting to verse 14. Not even close. He said, I write these things to you concerning those who try to deceive you. And the fourth reason that he wrote this letter, we're told in chapter 5, verse 13, he said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life, fullness of joy, victory over sin, discernment over deception, and assurance of salvation. Four reasons that we're told he writes this letter. Now, as we pick up here in verse 12, you see that he tells us the type of people, the type of Christians that he's writing to. It says little children, young men, and fathers. And what he's doing, he's reminding them again of how blessed they are in Jesus Christ. And it is, as I mentioned, it is important that we are reminded of how blessed we are and what real blessing is, what true blessing means in our lives. It's important that we know right now, this morning, you are blessed in Jesus Christ. Paul told the Ephesians, I love it, one of my favorite verses, that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a lot, right? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's hard to even wrap your mind around, right? Peter later told his readers in another one of my favorite verses, that his divine power was given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and we've been given everything we need pertaining to life, how we live, and godliness, how we, you know, live before him. That's pretty good, if you ask me. What else is there? What else can I need? What else can I desire? Man, we're blessed. We could stop right here, just read that, and be like, man, I'm blessed in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ on the authority of God's word, you are blessed. And I do understand, though, that we don't always see it that way, right? That's why we have to be reminded of how blessed we are, because I know that I can become so consumed in life and circumstances and difficulties that I can easily fall into like an Eeyore-like mentality, right? You know who Eeyore is? Come on, yes, yeah. We got any Eeyores in here? Yeah. No, you guys are, no one raised their hands. Okay, liars. Come on. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that. You guys are awesome. But sometimes I forget. And I become like Eeyore. Oh, man, my life's terrible. I got nothing. Everyone hates me. Sky's falling. Where's my tail? And we forget and we fail to see just how truly blessed we are. And maybe some of you came in here this morning or this week and or you hear a Bible study like this and you hear a guy up front like me say, man, you are blessed, Christian. You are just so blessed because of Jesus. And you might be thinking, yeah, okay, how? You don't know my life. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know my relationships. You don't know the state of my marriage. You don't know the health problems that I have. You don't know my bank account. And you're going to tell me that I'm blessed? How am I blessed, Pastor? And listen, I'm sympathetic to that. I really am. I am. Because I understand when you're dealing with things in life, to have some guy sit up front and be like, you're blessed, you can be like, whatever. You don't even know. One time I was at a pastor's conference back several years ago before we moved out here. And actually it was a church planning conference, not a pastor's conference. And I had a pastor come up to me. He was actually the pastor that married us. He had moved to Southern California. And he came up to me, he goes, Josh Claiborne, you are blessed. And God is going to do great things in your life. You know what I said? Right. Right? Because I was so negative in my response that I couldn't see that I was blessed, that God was doing things, because in my mind, blessing equated to getting what I wanted. Right. And if I didn't get it, then how am I blessed? If I was dealing with hard things, then how am I blessed? If I wasn't even dealing with hard things, by the way, but I didn't realize that because I didn't have a right understanding of what true blessing is, what it's rooted in. Because true blessing, right, it doesn't have anything to do with circumstance or material. I say that sensitively because people deal with very difficult circumstances. But true blessing has everything to do. You are blessed. When I say you are blessed, it's not because you have or you don't have. When I say you are blessed, it's because of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's because you are saved. It's because God abides in you. It's because you have a destiny with eternal glory attached to it. That's reality. No matter what, that completely supersedes circumstance. And that's why we understand, like, man, I am blessed. You notice the blessings that we read here. Your sins are forgiven. You have a relationship with God. There's power available to overcome the wicked one. That I can know the Father and the word of God dwells in me. Wonderful, tremendous blessings. They have nothing to do with anything physical or material. They completely supersede anything physical and material. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. Like, God does bless physically, right? We do have material blessings that are from him. You got a job, right? That's a blessing. And that's from God. No, it isn't. I did the interview. Yeah, but he helped you. He gave you the wisdom. He gave you the opportunity. He opened the doors, right? If you're able to provide for your family, if you had a roof over your head, like God does bless materially, and we can never take that for granted. But the greatest blessings and the eternal blessings that he gives, they're spiritual. That's where contentment comes from. That's where the peace of God comes from. That's where the joy of the Lord comes from. See, I can be blessed with all kinds of material and physical things. I can be blessed with a wonderful bank account and whatever else you want to say. Money, fast cars, diamond rings. That was bad. But that just dated me. And so those of you my age, you understand. But you can be blessed with all the world has to offer and calls blessing, but it won't help me when it comes to contentment. It does nothing for me when it comes to joy, and it does nothing at all in my life when it comes to peace that surpasses understanding. I have a lot of cool things, but I'm broken. I'm hurting. I remember living in Washington, right? How blessed I really was. We weren't rich by any means. We were on the lower end of the scale, closer to the lower end of the scale than the top end of the scale. But I had a job. We were able to buy a couple of houses. We acquired great equity. I still have a beautiful wife, awesome, healthy kids. I was super blessed. I was living the American dream, so to speak. But for 6 years, as I've said many times, man, I was miserable. I was depressed. I was Eeyore. Why? Because nothing was good enough. It wasn't good enough. I was so blessed, but I couldn't with material things I never saw it until the Lord opened my eyes and showed me what real true blessing is. It's who I am in Christ Jesus. It's I'm forgiven. And it wasn't until I understood that I am blessed because I am a child of God, that's when I was able to see, oh, wow, God really has blessed me with you know, a beautiful wife, the ability to buy a house, with healthy children. That stuff wasn't good enough before, you know? And the worst thing with that, sometimes, like Jess would be like, you're always wanting more. Is this what you have not good enough? No, it's not. How offensive is that to her? Because I wasn't able to see the source and what real true blessing is. And so again, if you came in here this morning and you hear me say you are blessed and you're thinking, yeah, how? I do pray that God would open your eyes in the same way. And this really speak to your heart in a way that maybe he hasn't in a long time, and just to breathe life into you and an understanding that you are blessed because you are saved and you have an eternal destiny in glory with him. Now in these three verses, when John speaks to little children, young men, and fathers, he isn't speaking, some teach it as he is, but I don't think he is necessarily speaking chronologically like a literal age. It could apply, and hopefully it does, but what he has more in mind is spiritual maturity, what spiritual growth looks like. We're all in different places in our walks, right? You have babies in the Lord. You have young men and women in the Lord. You have mothers and fathers in the Lord. And that's what John is talking about, right? When you first get saved, no matter how old you are, you're a little child in the faith. The Bible says that you were born again. Everything is new. You remember that? Everything is exciting. You're learning so much. And you're just like, wow, this is incredible, because you're a baby and you don't know anything. And everything you learn is just like, wow, this is amazing. But one of the most important things for a child in the faith to embrace and understand is verse 12, that their sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I hope that's not a ho-hum thing, that you're forgiven, right? That you can have a relationship with God. You're forgiven because, and I love how he says, for his name's sake, right? It's also good for young children in the Lord, growing in the Lord, realizing, man, I just got saved because I raised my hand and I said, I do. No, you're saved because you raised your hand and you're responding to something that he did on the cross. Your sins are forgiven because of his name's sake, who he is and what he's done for you. What a blessing, the forgiveness of sins. If you came in here again thinking and you hear me say, man, how am I blessed? Let's start there, that you're forgiven. The sin that once defiled you and defined you, it's been washed away. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have an eternal destiny again. Why? Because you're forgiven. Again, I hope that's not something we're just like, yeah, I've heard it. I know it. I'm forgiven. Don't take that for granted, that the judgment that I deserve was actually poured out upon Jesus. You know, we can be a Christian for a long time and or even hear the story, not even being a Christian for a long time, just know about the story and know about the gospel and the cross, that we can hear like, oh yeah, I'm forgiven and Jesus died on the cross and poured out his blood for me. When you think about we can become so familiar with that where it loses the impact that it should have in our lives. Like, why am I forgiven? It's because God left heaven, came to this earth, died on a cross for me. We cannot just have an ho-hum attitude about that. If we do, you will never understand and realize how blessed you are to be forgiven. The Bible tells us that he took my sin and he cast it as far as the east is from the west. It'll never mean again. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said, I think it was, I could be wrong, forgive me if I am, but I think it was her who said, God took your sins, he put it in the deepest of seas and he put a no fishing sign on it. It's not coming back, it's there forever. It's gone. But sometimes as you walk with the Lord, that excitement of being forgiven, it tends to wear off. Has anyone ever experienced that? I remember that when I first got saved, I was so excited and so expressive in worship, and I was telling everyone. I'd go to the mall, and the mall where I lived was not a safe mall to go to, but I'd go and I'd tell everyone that I'd see. I was trying to tell them all about Jesus. There was a zeal and there was this excitement. Because I was forgiven. But then you kind of grow and you walk with the Lord and you're like, huh, all right, that's cool. Where'd that zeal go? Where'd that excitement go? You know, one thing about the Jesus Revolution, I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping to go tomorrow. But I was talking with Keith yesterday and he said that one of the things that I really took away from it was just, I was reminded of how exciting it was when I first realized that I was saved and that I was forgiven, right? And it just like brought this newfound excitement to him. And so I pray for us as a church that, you know, that this excitement of being forgiven, if it's worn off, that God would remind us once again of how blessed we are to be forgiven. And because we're forgiven, we see the next blessing is that we can have a relationship with God. Verse 13, I write to you fathers, again, remember, we're not talking necessarily about others, because you have known him who is from the beginning. The next blessing, right? Christian, you are blessed because you're forgiven and you're blessed because you can have a relationship with God. And we talked a ton about this a couple weeks ago. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. But that the greatest desire that God has for me and my life isn't necessarily even obedience. He does desire obedience, right? He does. He said, be holy for I am holy. But his greatest desire is relationship, because that's where the obedience and holiness comes from. If I'm not living in relationship with God, then good luck trying to be obedient and be holy. I heard a story actually about it was a pot smoker who came to a pastor, and the pot smoker was like, hey, can I come to Jesus and still smoke weed? Can I be a Christian and just get high all the time? And the pastor was like, yeah. And the guy looked at him because he came at him pretty antagonistically. And he was like, huh? No, I mean, like, can I be smoking a joint and say, all right, Jesus, come into my life. I accept you. And he'll do it. And the pastor said, yeah. And the guy said, I don't understand. The pastor's like, exactly, you don't understand, right? You don't take a shower. You don't get clean before you take a shower. You come to Jesus, you enter into that relationship with him, and he cleanses you, and he does that. The thing about God's love, it's transformative. And when you're in that loving relationship with your God, man, he transforms your life. That's why he desires more than anything for you is to have a relationship with you. Paul told the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ wants to come inside and make his home in you. He wants to move in. He doesn't want to live with you as a roommate that comes and goes and, hey, how's it going? How was your day? It was cool. All right, talk to you later. But sometimes we do that with God, don't we? We kind of treat him like a roommate. It's like, cool. See you later. No, he wants to be a part of your life, right? He wants to live life with you and do life with you and be your life. Think about how blessed you are, right? To have a relationship with the eternal God, and that relationship that you have is not a fear-based relationship. If I do this, he's going to punish me. No, it's a loving relationship. It's a relationship rooted and based in love where it says, come to me and I'll do this in you. That's the relationship we have. We're blessed. It's not a relationship where God says, do this and I will love you. It's a relationship where God says, I did this because I love you. You're blessed, Christian, that you have. Let me ask you this morning. This is a challenging question, and sometimes we don't even know how to answer it. How is your relationship with God today? How has your relationship with God been this week, this month? I mean, the year's not very long, but this year, how's it been? You might say, well, yeah, I think it's cool. I think our natural tendency, you're like, I'm here, right? That's gotta be for something. It is. It is good. I'm glad you're here. But how is it? And hopefully, you know, I know I was with a brother in a discipleship group the other day, and one of the questions was, name a time that you were closer to the Lord than ever before. And he was like, right now. It's like, oh man, praise the Lord. God's doing great things in your life. But how is your relationship? I don't really know, Pastor. You wanna know how you can know how your relationship is, where it is? You should ask him, right? Because one thing I've learned in my life when it comes to relationships with other people, especially marriage, if I wanna know the state of my marriage and if it's going good or not, I should probably ask Jessica about it. Because it's easy for me to say, and I remember there was a time early in my marriage when I was like, dude, it's great, man. I work, I come home, dinner's done. I play a little video games. I don't play video games anymore, but I did. I'm not condemning video games, but anyways, I play a little video games. I watch some TV. I watch football. She gets the kids down. She's working. She's helping out. Like, it's great. Marriage is awesome. Meanwhile, she was miserable and I didn't even know it. If I want to know how my relationship with my wife is, I should ask her. If I want to know how my relationship with my God is, I should ask him. Lord, how is our relationship? How's it been? Our we doing life together, or are we just kind of living together like roommates? And if we're living together on like roommates, it's not because he's too busy, right? It's because I'm too busy. But there's hope, right? Because even we do go through seasons where we kind of treat God like a roommate, and we kind of come to him just when we need him and not because we love him. But there's hope, man, because what he desires for you is that relationship. And since he desires that relationship for you, with you, all you have to do is come back to him. That's it. All you have to do is come back and enter in. You know, you don't have to like do a bunch of chores and be like, all right, good. Are we God? All right, God, are we good now? No, the Bible says if you come and you repent and you're faithful and just, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. He wants to have that relationship with you, and that's a blessing. He doesn't guilt anyone. It's not a relationship, again, where he forces us into it, but he opens his arms and says, come, live in relationship with me. He continues on, right? I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And it speaks to the blessing of victory and power over sin. Colossians 2, verse 15 tells us that at the cross, Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. That's a radical verse. At the cross, man, the devil was defeated. He was disarmed and rendered powerless. You have the blessing of victory because Jesus was victorious and defeated the devil for you. He took away all the power, all of the weapons that he had. The wicked one, the devil, has no authority in your life because Jesus took it. Right? He has no power in your life to trip you up. He has no authority. I cannot emphasize that enough. Because sometimes we think, oh, the devil did this. The devil's making me do that. No, the devil's not making you do anything. He has no authority in your life. He's been rendered powerless. But as I say that, you might think, well, it sure feels like he's got weapons because I'm being shot at all the time. It sure feels like he's got power because I am in a war, and sometimes I lose this war. You ever feel that way? If he's powerless, then why does it feel like he's got power over my life? Listen, just because he's disarmed, just because he doesn't have any power over the believer, doesn't mean he gives up, right? Doesn't mean he stops working. No, he's still at work in his mission to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's working overtime. He's working overtime right now. It's a spiritual battle, and we're in it. You might think, well, okay, how is he so effective in this battle if he doesn't have any power and he's been stripped of his weapons? Well, the only thing that he has, which aren't really weapons, is he's still a liar, he's still a master manipulator and a deceiver. And that's what he uses. And when I believe his lies and give in to his deceptions, you know what I do? I say, here you go, here's your weapons right back. Here's the authority in my life that Jesus took from you. I'm giving it right back to you because I believe you and what you're saying before I believe what Jesus is saying and what he did for me. And when I do that, I give him authority, and victory is not had. That's why John is reminding these young men, you are victorious. You have overcome the wicked one. We have to be reminded by that the devil has no power in my life. That temptation, man, it's just temptation. Bible says, what about temptation? Flee useful lusts and pursue, I think it's holiness, righteousness, godliness with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. You're blessed because you have given power. The devil has been rendered powerless in your life and you have a victory over sin that is yours. Before we go on to the next blessing though, I do want to touch on something else here. Because I do see something here. You know, all of these blessings that we're talking about, They really do apply to every Christian at every level, whether you're a baby, whether you're a young man or woman, or whether you're a father or a mother. We're all blessed to be forgiven. We're all blessed to be in a relationship with God. We're all blessed to be victorious. But the reminder of blessing of victory is especially important, I think, to the young men and women in the Lord. You might think, well, why? Right? Because remember, we're not necessarily talking about age. We're talking about spiritual maturity. And these young men and women of the Lord are those who are, they've matured from childhood. They've moved out of the house, if you will. Right? The protection, the extra protection that they experience as babies, it's not there as much anymore because they need to grow and mature. And so to be able to grow and mature and to learn, the parents have to allow things into the baby's life, right? And that's what happens. As you grow and mature, that God begins to allow things into your life. And it's these young men and women that, again, they're no longer babies. They're not drinking the milk. They're eating the meat and they've grown. And they're the ones doing the work of the kingdom. And so the ones doing the work of the kingdom, they're right there on the front lines in the spiritual war, more so than the children. More so even than the fathers and mothers. And I'll touch on that in a second because every Christian at every level deals with spiritual battle. We do. It's just different. from the perspective of a baby and a young man or woman and a father or a mother, right? Because listen, you don't send a child to war, do you? Mm-mm. You don't even necessarily send the older people to war. But those older people do have a role, don't they? What are they doing? They're the ones like giving wisdom and discernment and helping and leading the young and men and women that are on the front lines. You know why? Because the fathers and mothers, they've been there. They fought their battles. They've won their wars. And they know how to have victory in Jesus. And so they're there with that mentorship. But it's those young men and women in the Lord. They're right there. They're on the front lines. They're taking the attacks because they're the ones doing the work of the kingdom. Yeah, again, this isn't limited to just the young men and women. But in general, that's kind of how it works. They're experiencing a spiritual battle that they've never experienced before. Where the fathers and mother, they've been there. Man, they have the wisdom. The babies, they're not there yet. God's not going to allow it yet because it would totally kill them. But the young men and women, man, he allows these things into your life to continue to grow you and mature you. And that's why John says, you young men, you have overcome the wicked one. You ever had this thought? I have. Where you think, man, it was so much easier when I was like a new Christian. I had less battles. Everything was so fun and exciting and awesome. And I never even sinned, right? Like, but now, like, I've been walking with the Lord for, you know, X amount of years. And now it just seems so much harder. And I'm so much more like, I'm sinning and I should be doing better. And have you ever felt that battle? Like, why? Why have I not progressed? And I would say you have progressed. You have matured. Because a baby, right? A baby, when he starts to walk, he stumbles and falls, and they don't even really realize it. I stumble and fall right now. I'm like, Greg, you need to come help me up, right? Like, I need help getting up. It's going to hurt. I'm going to be well aware if I stumble or fall. You see how that works? Because you've grown and you've matured from that baby to the young men and women of the Lord, you are well aware of your weakness in the spiritual battle. You are well aware of your sinfulness that needs to still be dealt with. When you're a baby, you weren't aware of any of that stuff. You were just happy to, I'm saved, I'm with God, I'm with my dad. But when you're on the front lines, man, you are well aware of the wretchedness inside. And you're well aware of your need for your Savior. That's why Paul was well aware of this. Remember what he said, wretched man that I am, who's gonna rescue me from this body of death? No one would call Paul a wretched man during his ministry, right? Maybe before his ministry. Now, everyone would call Paul, man, you are on the front lines. And here's Paul, man, wretched man that I am. Just a sense of awareness of his sinfulness and his weakness and his need to be rescued. So that's what I see there when it's directed to, again, we all are blessed to have victory, but just that reminder to those young men and women in the spiritual battle, dealing with it maybe for the first time, difficult things that they never expected. John says to you, man, you have overcome the wicked one. He continues on now, speaking to little children again. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Again, you notice the emphasis on relationship. This whole thing is about relationship. And what a blessing it is for a child to know their Father, their heavenly Father. What a blessing that is. I mean, maybe you grew up and you didn't have a father. You didn't know your father. Maybe your relationship with your earthly father wasn't great. But you are blessed because you have a relationship with your Father in heaven, you know, and it's not a relationship, a fear-based relationship. But, you know, I'm not afraid of my Father, right? If I mess up, I'm not afraid that he's going to smite me or condemn me. No, he's a Father that loves me and wants to restore me. He's a Father in which the Bible says we can come to him and say, you know what we can say? Abba, Father. You think, well, what does that mean? You know what that means? Basically, daddy. It's that personal, intimate relationship with the Father that you can have. And someone might ask, like, Philip, well, how can I know the Father? I've never seen him. Just show me the Father, Jesus. And I think it was Philip that asked that. Just show me the Father, Jesus, and that will be sufficient for us. You know, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. Right? To know Jesus is to know the Father. He is the exact representation in his character, in his heart, in his love as the Father. And you can have a relationship with your, and know personally your Father in heaven. This is something, this is such a blessing. We kind of take these things for granted, but this is a blessing that didn't exist before Jesus, right? Remember, they didn't even, the Jews, they didn't even want to say God's name. They didn't want to say Yahweh. They took out the consonants. It was YHWH. They just would say Lord with a capital LORD. Because they revered his name to be, you know, too great to even say. That's how distant they were from him. And though his name might be too great for us to say, he says, forget about it, call me daddy. And he opens that relationship up to us. Man, you're blessed to have a Father in heaven that loves you. John, he continues at verse 14, once again, speaking to the fathers again. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Nope, I didn't read verse 13 again. Sounds exactly the same, isn't it? It's the emphasis. You know, the repetition means emphasis. It's so important, right, to know Jesus, to know him who is from the beginning, because knowing Jesus in his fullness is what makes a man of God mature in him. It's knowing Jesus that moves you from in his fullness. It moves you from being a baby to a young man to a father or a mother for that matter in the Lord. We think sometimes like spiritual maturity equates to the things that a person does. And they kind of go hand in hand, right? A lot of times, but there's a lot of people that do things for the Lord. They're not spiritually mature at all. They just do things for the Lord because they want to look cool. But, you know, a lot of people, they are spiritually mature, and it is seen in the way that they live their lives. And we think, oh man, look how, I just want to be like that person. That person, like, man, look at their life. They're just so spiritually mature. But that's not what makes a person spiritually mature. Remember Paul told the Philippians, right? He said, all of my achievements, all the things that I've done in the past, that I count all that as loss. I count it as garbage compared to the greatness in knowing him, knowing Jesus. He said, all that stuff, you can take it, man. I want to know him in his fullness and who he is. And the blessing is that we can. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Such a blessing. I've written to you, young men, again. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Again, we see some repetition there. That means emphasis. If you're keeping notes, right? You're blessed because you're forgiven. You're blessed because you have a relationship with God. You are blessed because you have power and victory over the wicked one. You are blessed because you have to know your heavenly Father, and you are blessed because you can know Jesus. Now John says, you are blessed because you have access to the Word of God. The Word of God actually abides in you, and because the Word of God abides in you, you have been made strong and you can overcome the wickedness. You see, the wicked one. You see how that happens, right? You overcome the wicked one when the Word of God abides in you, because that's where strength to overcome comes from. Spiritual maturity comes by knowing Jesus. Spiritual strength comes by abiding in his Word, and his Word abiding in me. We talk about victory all the time, right? And it's easy to sit up here and talk about, man, you're victorious. You're victorious. You have victory. But it's also easy to hear that and be like, man, I don't feel victorious. I'm constantly losing. Let me ask you, are you abiding in the Word, and is the Word abiding in you? Because that's where the strength to overcome comes from. If I'm not in his Word, how can I expect to ever have victory? This isn't, oh, I go to church and I listen to a Bible study, and you know, I'm glad you guys are here. I love it. I wish, you know, especially as we move into our new building, we have more space. We need to invite as many people to church because the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught every Sunday, every Wednesday, every men and every women's study. It's the focal point of everything we do. But just to come in here and hear a Bible study being taught doesn't mean that you're abiding in the word and the word of God abides in you. But it's when you hear God's word, you read God's word, you receive God's word, you embrace God's word, you walk and you leave and you're intentional to want to live the word that was spoken to you. You want to allow it to sink in and you want to go again, live God's word. That's where the spiritual strength comes from. That's when God's word is abiding in you, when it's received by you and it takes root. How does it do that? How do I do that? You come to it, man. You spend time in his word. Again, it's not a roommate thing. Oh, real quick, I need to get in. All right, cool, I'm out. Listen, the word of God never returns void. And if that's all you got, it's better than nothing. But he wants to spend time with you. He wants to abide in you. And he wants to make you strong. Being made strong because his word abides in you. If I gave you a checklist this morning and said, check the box that applies to you, all right, you look at it. Am I a little children? Am I a baby in the Lord? Am I a young man in the Lord? Am I a father or a mother in the Lord? What would you choose? What would you pick? You know, most of us, you'd probably look at it and you probably wouldn't say, well, I'm a father or mother in the Lord, because a father or mother in the Lord would probably be too humble to admit that they're a father or mother in the Lord. But I'll tell you, we have wonderful men and women that are father and mothers in the Lord in our church. And my encouragement to you is, man, you've been there. You fought your battles. You won the wars. You've been made spiritually strong. The word of God does abide in you. You know the key to victory. What are you doing with it? Are you sharing that wisdom? Are you giving that wisdom? Are you reaching out and looking to meet and disciple young men, babies and young men and women in the Lord? Because that's your role, to pour in. And young men and women in the Lord, right? Babies in the Lord, you need that wisdom. You need that discernment, right? Don't think, oh, they're old. They don't have nothing. They don't know what it's like, really. Sounds like my children, right? How many of you, your dad, you know what it's like to be in high school? How do you think I got here? I was just born 40? Like, right? Like, yes, I know what it's like. I've been there. I know the struggles you have. I know what it's like to be made fun of. I know what it's like to get in a fight. I know what it's like to fail a lot, and I don't want you to. So will you just listen to me? He needs my advice. Young men and women of the Lord, man, we need the advice of our mothers and fathers in the Lord who have been there, who have went through it. We need to learn from their victories and also learn from their failures. So again, what would you choose? You know, I think most of us, we'd probably look at it, we'd be like, oh man, I've been saved 10 years. I probably can't say that I'm a baby, though I kind of feel like it. Well, I think most of us in here, we would probably say, well, I'm a young man or a young woman in the Lord. Well, if that's the case, if you're a young man or a young woman in the Lord, are you growing in strength? Because that's what it says. It says you are strong. It doesn't say you might be or you will be. And no, you are strong. You're on the front lines. You need to be strong. Because, you know, so are you growing in strength? Well, Pastor, I'm a young man or woman in the Lord, but I don't really want to be on the front lines. It's hard out at the front lines. It's difficult out there. I'm going to let other people be in the front lines, and I'll just kind of hang back and I'll support them through prayer. And that's great, man. I love, But if you're a young man and woman in the Lord, growing in strength, being made strong in him, you need to be taking that step forward and doing the work of the kingdom, being on those front lines. If indeed you've been made strong, right? Like, if you're strong, what are you doing with it? Are you just, I'm strong? No, you need to be using it. What's the point of strength if you don't use it? Think about like a bodybuilder. They're all huge, man. They got muscles coming out of their foreheads. And like, what do they do? They're huge. And it's like, what do they do with it? They get on a stage in their underwear and they flex. It's like, dude, go move a car or something. You know, like do something cool. I don't know where I went there, but The point is, man, if we're spiritually sorry to put those images in your head. If you're visiting here today, welcome to Calvary Chapel. But we ought to be using our strength. If we've been made strong, we ought to be using it by stepping into the things that God has put in front of us, that he wants us to step into and do the work of the kingdom. God has a spiritual gym, if you will. And on the walls of his spiritual gym, I think it writes, no pain, no gain. You think, well, why would it say that? Because as you go to Scott's spiritual gym and he's your trainer, he's going to press you. He's going to push you. You're going to sweat. You're going to cry. You're going to get tired. But you know what? You're going to be made strong. You know, as God pushes you, as God allows things into your life, as you're on those front lines, as he's with you in the battle at the front, man, as the word of God abides in you, as he pushes you and presses you and is with you, man, you are made strong. At the same time, if you don't use the strength, if you're strong, but you never go to this God's spiritual gym, you know what happens if you don't ever work out again? You get weak. You know, so if you're, man, I have a feeling maybe there's people in here that I used to be strong, but I'm not anymore. Well, why? Am I abiding in God's word? Am I stepping out? Am I allowing him to push me and to press me and to continue to grow me and mature me? Or have I just taken a step back and said, oh, you know what? Other people can do that. I'll just chill and wait. Friends, you are blessed to be forgiven. You are blessed to know him who is from the beginning. You are blessed to have the victory to overcome. You are blessed to know Jesus. You are blessed to have a heavenly Father, and you are blessed to have the word of God in you that abides in you and makes you strong for anything that this antichrist, anti-God world wants to bring to us. You're blessed. And I hope as you leave here today, even if you came in here, even if at first you're thinking, man, I'm not, I pray that the Holy Spirit has testified to your spirit and you have a new sense of, you're right, Lord. It's not me convincing you, I'm talking about underwear, muscle builders in their underwear, right? It's the Lord, it's his spirit reminding you that you are blessed, amen? Shannon, you come on up, let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you've given us, the things that you're doing in your life, that you do make us strong, that you do abide in us, that you want a relationship with me. Not a lot of people want to have a relationship with me, Lord, but you do. It's what you desire the most. You're not ashamed of me. You're not ashamed of us, Lord. We are forgiven. Our sins cast as far as the east is from the west, they'll never meet again. They don't define us, Lord. We are so blessed this morning to be your children. And now, Lord, I just pray that you would challenge us to be excited about that, to let that motivate us. Like Keith was saying, that new sense of excitement of, you know, knowing you and wanting to see other people know you, Lord, that we'd step out on those front lines, knowing that you've made us strong, God. You're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And victory is right there, God. It's been given to us. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you stand with us for the last couple songs?